Good morning, and welcome to our service of Holy Communion at 8 o'clock on Sunday the 13th of September. It's the 14th Sunday after Trinity. Well, the good news is that we're back in church again at 10 o'clock. We were there last Sunday, and we'll be there now for succeeding Sundays at 10 o'clock. The numbers that came were absolutely the right number, but if you want to come along, you're very, very welcome. You can always get more in. The big, exciting, more exciting even piece of news is that next week our Rector Susie is back in church with us, and she'll be preaching at the 9 o'clock service and 10:45. I've prepared an extra prayer of preparation that I've used at the 9 o'clock services of Communion, just underlining the importance of a spiritual service like this, when we can't receive the bread and the wine sacramentally. So I'll put that in after the Lord's Prayer and before the formal prayer of preparation. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Then this word of explanation of preparation. For most of us in this time of pandemic, receiving the bread and wine according to the ancient practice of the Church of England is quite impossible. This prayer of spiritual communion, taken from Great St. Mary's Church in Cambridge, is a beautiful way to remember Jesus and abide in him. It's inspired by a prayer of St. Richard of Winchester. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits you have given me, for all the pains and insults you have borne for me. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I ask you to come spiritually into my heart. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly day by day. Amen. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our queen and governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray, and the collect for today. Almighty God, whose only Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence, give us pure hearts and steadfast wills to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. The lesson is written in the fifth chapter of the second book of Kings, beginning at the first verse. It's the exciting story of the healing of Naaman, and I love it that it's all started by a little girl. The king of Aram had high admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. Now groups of Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had told him. "Go and visit the prophet," the king told him. "I will send a letter of introduction for you to carry to the king of Israel." So Naaman started out, taking as gifts 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, "With this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy." Now when the king of Israel read it, he tore his clothes in dismay and said, "This man sends me a leper to heal? Am I God, that I can kill and give life? He's only trying to find an excuse to invade us again." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard about the king's reaction, he sent this message to him. "Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. "Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of leprosy." But Naaman became angry and stalked away. "I thought he'd surely come out to meet me," he said. "I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and heal me. Aren't the Abana River and Pharpar River of Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel put together? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed?" So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply to go and wash and be cured." So Naaman went down to the river Jordan and dipped himself 7 times, as the man of God had instructed him. And his flesh became as healthy as a young child's, and he was healed. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to the man of God. They stood before him, and Naaman said, "I know at last that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Now, please accept my gifts." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts." And though Naaman urged him to take the gifts, Elisha refused. Then Naaman said, "All right, but please allow me to load 2 of my mules with earth from this place, and I will take it back home with me. From now on, I will never again offer any burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord. However, may the Lord pardon me in this one thing. When my master the king goes into the temple of the god Rimmon to worship there and leans on my arm, may the Lord pardon me when I bow too." "Go in peace," Elisha said. So Naaman started home again. Here ends the first lesson. The Holy Gospel is written in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning at the 31st verse. "Glory be to thee, O Lord." And this is another parable that he put before them. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. As a seed, mustard is smaller than any other, but when it has grown it is bigger than any garden plant. It becomes a tree big enough for the birds to come and roost among the branches." And again, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure lying buried in the field. The man who found it buried it again, and for sheer joy went and sold everything he had and brought that field." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now David Wicksteed will speak to us.
Good morning. My name's David, and I'm typically found within the 1045 rabble. I'm not sure if me joining you today is for my good behaviour or your bad. However, it's nonetheless a very great pleasure to be speaking with you this morning in the early slot. The last few months have been very tough on all of us, and for many of us our worlds have become much smaller, as our travel and our interactions have shrunk. We have instead become ever more familiar with our homes and those with whom we share them. For me, this has meant spending time with my children. A lot of time with my children. Whilst this has not always been easy, especially whilst balancing a full-time job, I've often treasured this time. Being a parent is a source of real joy to me. I love being able to support, teach, and generally joke around with my kids. Of course, one of the wonderful things about spending time with children is the opportunity to explain to them things which are amazing, but which adults cease to be amazed by anymore. The transformation of a caterpillar to a butterfly. That a person can just hop on a plane and fly from one continent to another. The accelerating pace of change in modern technology. Even my own ability to eat an entire pack of biscuits in a single sitting. Okay, well that last one is less natural wonder and more personal hidden shame, but you get the idea. The point is that passing on amazing facts, wonderful stories, or good news is something we enjoy. How about this as an interesting fact? Some modern day calculators have 6 times the processing power of the computer that landed Apollo 11 on the moon. 6 times the processing power of that computer that helped land Apollo 11 on the moon. Maybe you'll pass that on to somebody later today. And it also underlines what I said earlier about the amazing changing pace of modern technology. The theme of today is about sharing amazing facts, wonderful stories, and of course good news, and the surprising effect this can have. It's easy for us weather-worn Christians to sometimes feel like the sceptical adults. Most of us have been brought up in a Christian country, in a church setting, having heard the gospel story 100 times or more. Perhaps the sense of wonder has understandably lapsed slightly. However, for the early Christians, this really was surprising and revolutionary news, news that simply had to be shared with others. Jesus' ministry created a chain reaction. His initial conversations with Simon and Andrew have directly led to the 2.4 billion Christians alive today. In today's gospel reading, Jesus describes the transformation of a tiny mustard seed to a mighty mustard plant. This is the sense that God can take something tiny and seemingly insignificant and turn it into something which is not only large and hardy, but also provides shelter to others. This is not only possible, but happens in everyday life, as the mustard seed shows. The church is surely the same. Somehow the words, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men," have created 2.4 billion fishermen. And that ignores our brothers and sisters from previous generations and all of those who are yet to come. The mustard seed has turned into an estimated 27 million churches. All this despite the fact that our leader was arrested and put to death after only ministering for a few years at most. Our second example is slightly different. Again, the field, like the mustard seed, is supposedly commonplace and unimportant, yet it contains within it something very special, which, given the right conditions, is transformative. We are encouraged to actively acquire the field in order that we can gain the treasure that lies within, and so be transformed. Jonathan Edwards, an 18th century preacher, said, the seeking of the kingdom of God is the chief business of the Christian life. Certainly, it seems he knew what it meant to buy the field. I wonder what our modern equivalent might be. The winning lottery ticket, the football prodigy, Banksy's first chalk drawing. Of course, I've not really mentioned what I think the kingdom of God might be. The kingdom of God is one of those phrases that seems to be bandied about without any explanation given, almost a kind of if you have to ask, then it's not for you mentality. So what does it mean? Well, I think it's a community centred around God's will and his will for us. His will for us is that we love him and that we love each other. I do not think it's exclusively of or not of this earthly world. The kingdom of God, at the very least, starts in this world, even if it sees its completion in the next. Returning to our gospel reading, the kingdom of God protects us and is a treasure to us. In short, the kingdom of God is what we're looking for. So, if the kingdom of God is available to us now and promises the benefits of God's protection and love, then how do we bring it about? R.C. Sprout, a US minister, said, "The only way the kingdom of God is going to be manifest in the world before Christ comes is if we manifest it by the way we live as citizens of heaven and subjects of the king." So, like a virtuous circle, we can create the kingdom of God today by loving God with all our hearts and minds and loving our neighbour as ourselves. We are the labourers and all of us have a shift to do. Or as Albert Schweitzer said, there can be no kingdom of God in the world without the kingdom of God in our hearts. Our reading from Kings reminds us that the world was ever a complicated place, and whilst we today might feel that the pervading forces are of secularism and atheism, in other times it was thought that there were other gods and pantheons of gods standing in opposition. Once again, the God of Israel would not be considered of any significance to most of those outside the Jewish faith. He was one of a myriad of spiritual beings within the ancient world, and surely his power or lack of it was demonstrated by the relatively modest ambitions of his people. It is, of course, interesting to note what has changed and what has remained consistent through all this time. When I first came to London as a student, I would frequently see a preacher with a loud hailer around Oxford Circus tube station. He would extol us to meet Jesus and to repent of our sins. Each time I passed him, I'd try and give him a friendly smile. But in my heart, I prayed that God would never ask me to do such a thing. I knew that he was doing God's work, but it was also embarrassing and un-British. Today, I still don't really want to pick up a loud hailer and venture into town. I'm not sure that I have the skills required. However, there is plenty of other work I can do and for which I'm better suited, the most important of which is to love God and to love those who I come across. We need, to be extraordinary in the way in which we love each other and the communities in which we work and live. That may sound simplistic, but it's certainly not easy. The temptation towards selfishness and deceit seems to be ever present. The only way I know to overcome it is to remember that I'm a child, and my father is always with me, supporting me, teaching and sometimes even joking with me. My classroom doesn't have a blackboard, but instead it has a cross. At this cross I can lay down all of my flaws, my pains and my selfishness. I can also stare in wonder at the sacrifice of the Son. I can be amazed that so much is given for me. I can see the wonder of the Creator God, all this bound together in eternal love into which I am invited to join, into which we are invited to join. Allow yourself to be astounded by this again, and realise that there is no context in which you can place this, which makes it normal. Then, my friends, tell others, through your words or your letters, but always through your love. Referring back to my earlier reference to me being good or you being bad, let me leave you with this quote from Jacques Ellul, a French theologian. "Christians were never meant to be normal. We've always been holy troublemakers. We've always been creators of uncertainty, agents of dimension that's incompatible with the status quo. We do not accept the world as it is, but we insist on the world becoming the way that God wants it to be. And the kingdom of God is different from the patterns of this world. And I wish you that blessing as a holy troublemaker, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother or sister have need, and shutteth up his compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? We come to our intercessions. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church, militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word, and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and specially thy servant Elizabeth our Queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto her whole council, and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we just take a moment to bring before God those people whom we would especially commend him this morning. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. We say our confession. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travel and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God. Therefore with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And we say together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and it institutes, and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave them thanks, he brake it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he gave them thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on them in thy heart by faith with thanksgiving. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and be thankful. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us who have duly received these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour, thy goodness towards us, and that we're very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and also heirs, through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. And we give glory to God together. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And so may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be with you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love, be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.